You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Guess who came into work today? Thomas Callahan and Steve Rivera.
We, too, Steve, are here, and we're separated by a pane of glass, so we're not spreading anything to each other.
Pane of glass and about 10 feet, and don't even look at me because it could be dangerous.
I mean, I try not to anyway.
Most people do. Hey, how you doing? Would like to dance? Sorry, I got it. I'm sick. Sorry, kid.
I don't feel well, Steve.
Sorry, I've seen you dance. I can't dance with you. Mm. Hey, since I last saw you Thursday, a lot of things have gone on, haven't they?
Oh, my goodness. What a crazy several days.
It's like the world is crazy. We all know that. It's been unbelievable. Like, I thought Tuesday when everything kind of hit?
Yeah.
And it was like, there's no day that could be like this. And I still believe Tuesday was one of those crazy days. It's just continued to drip, 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 and continue. Today wasn't that bad because there's nothing left. It's like when you cry and you have no tears left.
Yeah.
We're at that point. Because the only thing that I saw over the weekend, I saw David Kelly go to the NASCAR. I don't know how many people were in the stands. I saw the UFC fought in front of nobody. You said the WWE?
I think they're still having WrestleMania just in an empty building.
Just an empty building, correct. And we could be missing a thing or two, but I think that's it. That's really going on.
Yeah, everything else has been canceled. The Masters they announced was canceled, and PGA Tour, and everybody who pretty much said, hey, we're going to keep going, like PGA, like NASCAR, has since reconsidered.
Oh, yeah. Right. I think that's a smart move. I'm not a smart guy, but that's a smart move. Rather to be safe than sorry.
Sure.
Precautionary than crazy. A friend of mine's in Vegas. I guess his sons or daughters are having a 21st birthday, and they took him there. There's nobody there.
They're shutting casinos down.
They're shutting. You know the world is ending.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane to me, Steve. But that's where we're at. People in all these different industries are going to be affected. And I mean, you know, welcome to the gig economy. So everybody
right.
who earns
no, exactly.
their money by working these independent one-off events, myself included, this is going to cost me a lot of money too.
No, I know. I have a friend who said that and posted something. All the freelance work and things like that is going to cost. I'm in that boat as well. This is part of that freelance gig. Luckily, it's still continuing just in this capacity. In fact, my other job, I'm working from home and just kind of staying to myself in my room writing. Luckily, I can do that.
Yeah.
Crazy times. Sports, obviously, everyone says, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about with those sports? This is not kind of a sports results show anyway.
Right.
This is more about storylines, what to do, what's going to happen, things like that. In fact, my guests today will talk about that specifically. I have Rocky LaRose, former associate head coach, AD at U of A, longtime AD with U of A. She's now retired, but she's been a frequent guest, at least in my first year of doing this. Love her perspective. I wanted to get her knowledge and her perspective on the athletes who have lost their eligibility but will be gaining their eligibility when they come back, which is fantastic. And she used to play back in the day, so wanted to see just how she felt about all this. And of course, she was kind of like the soothsayer, the good girl, if you will, if I can say that term, for the students. You know, if they had someone ear to fall on, she was the person. So just how they would feel, how she feels about it now that she's not in the game, and just maybe lucky that she doesn't have to deal with this, because this is crazy, crazy in a lot of different levels.
And Steve, it seems like a no-brainer, but you can't always count on something like the NCAA to do the quote-unquote right thing.
Right.
But I think it's only fair to a lot of these kids, the ones who aren't turning pro, the ones who are coming back, you know, and want a four-year degree, right, why wouldn't you allow them?
Oh, sure, sure.
The to best keep that eligibility.
I don't know if you felt this, but the best time of my life was college, because I stayed 5 years, and luckily I had it all paid for through somebody, not my parents, and I enjoyed it. Heck, I would have stayed another year or two. In fact, I remember Luke Walton saying, hey, if I could stay another 10 years, I would. It was a great time. You're still young. You can be young and be crazy and not do anything stupid, but be young. So more power to the kids who are going to be able to come back or want to come back for eligibility purposes or just to come back, which is great, which is great. I'm curious about how they're going to do it, and that's why I wanted to have Rocky on. Maybe she could can explain on that. We ready to go to a quick break? Let's do that and come back and talk to Rocky the Rose on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, we have Rocky LaRose, former associate AD at U of A. Is that correct? Associate AD?
Deputy Director of Athletics and Athletic Director for a short period of time.
You say it better than I do. I'll say it that way. How are you, buddy old pal? You haven't been on the show in a while.
I know. It's great to be back and great to be back home. We just got back from a trip, so loving this Tucson weather.
I think you should sell your house and then just travel because you're never there.
I know, but that's what you do in retirement.
Oh, I hate you. I'll never see what that means or what is this word, retirement? Hey, when you heard all this news break with the kids, you must have been heartbroken given your years with them.
Honestly, it's one of the saddest things I've ever heard, because you're right. Having been there, I feel the impact. I see the impact. I know how they feel. And yeah, just overwhelming sadness, honestly. They're, it's a grieving period.
Sure, sure. Now comes the dust to settle, which of course won't be right away. What's going to happen with, let's say the kids get an extra year, the seniors or the seniors, when they either come back or don't come back? How does that work? And money and things like that, because I'm sure that's going to have an issue.
Well, exactly. I mean, in theory, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, no
question. In theory, it seems easy. Mm-hmm. But when it gets really complicated when you start looking at the reality of it and the logistics. And there are things that I know people haven't even thought of. I mean, some of the obvious things are, first of all, what the NCAA has said is it's eligibility relief. There's been no talk yet about scholarship relief and how that will affect the future. And each team has certain team limits,
right,
on how many scholarships they may have. So there'll have to be relief of that. And then what kind of financial impact that will have on the departments. But the one thing that I thought of immediately is not all of these spring sport athletes are on full rides. So think of the financial impact to those young people.
Oh, yes.
And their families if they have to come back another year, and if they're only on tuition and fees, or they're only on books, or they're only on a partial scholarship, they're going to have to make up that difference. So it really affects the student also financially. So there's that question, team limits. The other thing that I've not heard anybody mention is something that you can't legislate but has to do with competitive advantage. I mean, if your team has five seniors and they all come back, plus now you have your incoming recruits, that's a competitive advantage over a team that doesn't have any seniors or has one senior and incoming recruits. So, there's a lot of nuances to this that are really going to have to be thoughtfully thought through.
No question.
Yeah.
If I'm a senior, four-year senior, and am close to getting my degree, and then there's no future in the game, or maybe there is, that's a tough decision to whether you want to come back or not.
Well, it is. And if you're graduating, then that's another thing the NCAA is going to have to look at. Is there going to be relief from having to be a full-time student? Because, as you know, that's a mandatory requirement.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Or if you have graduated and you've already got admitted to a grad school somewhere else, can you play at that new school? And will that new school even welcome you to play? They may not want you. So even though you may wish to play further, it's just, there's a lot of dynamics, a lot of things that need to be thought through.
I bet you don't miss it.
Well, I do. You're right. Although, you know, you start reading all this and you're thinking about it. And, you know, sometimes you want to get back in there and get your feet dirty. But this is a big one. This is a big deal. And, you know, I have to say this, you know, I support the idea of all of this, anything we can do to help student athletes maximize their experience. Because, you know, as you get older in life, you realize how much you cherish those athletic memories. And I think back and think, what if my senior year just right. evaporated in mm-hmm. a second? You know, I've enjoyed reliving those memories my entire life. So, yep. you know, they're impacted, but on the other hand, sometimes you can't make it right, unfortunately. No. And that's a life lesson.
No question. I bet given the chance when you were younger, 23, 24, 22, 23, whatever, had they give you the option of another year, you probably would have stayed in just to go to school and enjoy.
That's right. And it would have been easy for me being in a sport that there's no professional life after college. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I think of how that dynamic could have changed my entire life, because as it turned out, I graduated in May. I started working for the University of Arizona in July as the softball coach. If I had stayed another year in school, I might not have had that opportunity. So you never can really play this out to know exactly what the ripple effects are, you know, or what the cascading might lead to.
Sure, sure, sure. And if they come back, the dynamic, let's assume for a second, just hypothetically, the basketball team, you can give me your answers how you choose. But okay, you come back with the team, same team with new recruits, the dynamic of the team is different. And this chemistry of the team is different. Whether you want to believe it or not, things change. Because now you have another year, you're wiser. I don't know. This is just me thinking. Because it's changed. I mean, how can you go back and put the cap on the bottle, you know, with the genie analogy or whatever? You know what I'm saying? You'd think that dynamic would change.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, having worked with coaches my entire career, larger rosters aren't necessarily beneficial.
No matter how talented. No matter how talented.
No matter how talented. Exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to look at it this way. There's a lot of asterisks in sport, and this is going to be a big one. You know, this is the year that was. You know, I think back in all the changes in how sports evolved, we've never been a level playing field, you know, in terms of records and history. And you know, a good example is when I played softball, the mound was at 40 feet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now it's at 43. You know, that's not fair to all of us that played before. Our statistics all look shorter than what, you know, they are now. And, you know, or the free throw line or, you know, or you think it's just, unfortunately, you can, like I said, you just can't ever make things right. I know a lot of people had hoped that there would have been a delay rather than a cancellation, but even in a delay, things change, and
yes.
it still wouldn't have been the same.
Let's say for a second, in the spring, there's about, I'm just throwing a number, 50 seniors that will be impacted. Of those, and this is hypothetical, 50 people, how many do you think will actually come back?
Yeah, that's the question. I know initially everybody's coming back.
Yes.
Because they're so emotional.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's something that you just can't even wrap your mind around. So everybody's going to come back. But I think as the days go by and time goes by and reality starts setting in, I mean, seniors, some of them have job offers.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
They've got to really contemplate not just next year, but their entire future. So I tend to think there'll be a lot of decisions where student athletes will move on. I really do.
Life calls.
Right. Exactly. And again, like I said, they've got to now, the partial scholarship athletes have to think financially too, what an impact that's going to have.
Yeah, no question. Like I say, I'm sure you're glad you're not around to make those decisions, but it's each school. I guess the NCAA will say what the rules are.
Right. There'll be committee meetings now that'll go forward, and they're going to have to do it sooner than later. I mean, their mm-hmm. summer now is going to be taken up because there is a lot of issues to be addressed.
Well, you say summer. I mean, the kids probably need to know by next month because internship, you know, all these things going on.
You're right. Yeah. Team limits, financial impacts. yeah, roster sizes. You know, there's some Title IX implications and all of that. Mm-hmm. Enrollments and, you know, full-time. I mean, it's not just a matter of giving a young person one more year of eligibility.
Right, right. I had Matt Muehlbach on the show last week, and I've had a couple of some just older people, you know, not older people, but my age kind of thing. You were around for Iraq, the war. I think it was basketball season at the time. Crazy mm-hmm. times. You think it couldn't get any crazier, and then we're at war with Iraq, and the guys are still playing, and the women. What were your thoughts back then, and maybe some impactful times, maybe 9/11 this time, and just kind of, Tuesday was a strange day for me.
Yeah, you know, those were obviously very impactful. I remember being on phone calls, not only with the conference, but with the NCAA, with basketball committees. And so, you know, it was always right down to the last minute and trying to decide what decisions were going to mm-hmm. be made. But I'll tell you the biggest difference I see between those instances and what just happened. And that is we were able to pull the athletes together, the community together, have us all in one room and talk. mm-hmm. And you can't do that with this pandemic. You can't all be in the same room together.
That's true.
And, you know, we kind of had our arms wrapped around some of that. You know, I remember 9/11, you know, we had all the student athletes come into McHale Center, you know, that were around. What I saw happen with this was, you know, there were athletes that were on the field practicing when the news came down. There were athletes that were actually playing in games when the news came down. You know, it was just chaotic in that sense. There was no way to get the word out in a group sense where you all could, let's face it, hug each other and look each right. other in the eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody has the same issue. It's not like, right. you know, okay, one academic, one whatever in trouble. They're all in the same boat.
And in some ways, that's a good thing. They all can share the experience together.
True, true. Yeah. Well, imagine the books that could be written this the day I heard the word my career was done.
Yeah, I know. I do love some of the sense of humor that's going around, and, you know, it'll be, you know, the pundits that are playing out the March Madness anyway, and, some of that is kind of heartwarming, you know, to see people come together and to do that. But the bottom line is it's sad. It's sad for our young people that won't have those memories and won't have the experiences.
And you've been a coach, you've been a player, obviously. You must feel for Adia, given her situation and that team, and it could have had some very nice moments, and it did, obviously, to this point. Just your thoughts on what happened there.
Well, yeah, just again, it's heartbreaking to not know that they couldn't have taken it to the end, you know, to seeing exactly how far they could have gotten. But what can we say? How proud are we of what they have accomplished this year and what we get to look forward to next year? I mean, they're just going to build on this, you know, every year from now on. So I just, it's just heartbreaking because they had so much momentum and the community was so behind them, and the thought of what could have been if we could have held those first rounds of the tournament right here in McHale
right,
Center.
Right, right. The one thing that you guys are good at and coaches should be good at is you're not only coaches, but you're inside parents or parents of those kids. At least the parents who give them to you are, you know, hopeful that you are. Just, Adia, kind of like down to earth, kind of that person. Kendrea, fantastic at it. And some of the others, just, you know, kind of how they have to switch roles to be the calming voice or the soothing voice.
Right. Well, they are the leaders. They are the leaders of the team. They set the tone. They are their parents away from home, and they take that responsibility very seriously. And, you know, there are no better examples than Adia and Mike Kendrea. I mean, they're just what I love about it is they're not just respected by their players. They are loved by their players. And that's heartwarming as an administrator to know that that's the kind of coach you want.
Mm-hmm. Where does this go? I mean, like you say, it could be into the summer when the decisions are being made, although they probably need to be made earlier just for the kids to make a decision, at least a smart decision for themselves. And then you start up again in the fall thinking like, nothing happened. But, of course, something happened.
Well, I know, and who's to say it's going to be over with by the fall?
Oh, true.
I mean, I feel kind of bad for all the administrators and the conferences and the NCAA because, you know, at first it just kind of felt like everybody was making it up as they went. And in a way, they were, you know, this is so unprecedented and has never happened before. So I think at least now with the cancellations of practice and championships and events, it gives everybody a time to kind of take a deep breath and monitor the situation daily, but to start really looking towards the future and hope that by fall everything will be in place. I agree with you. They can't wait till summer, but I'm just saying their summer will still be busy.
Oh, sure.
There will be a lot to do, this summer.
Sure.
Vacations will be canceled.
No question. I'm sure you saw some photos of McHale, how empty it was, or the parking lot, at least it was. I'm sure that's kind of like almost a ghost town, your former resident.
It's surreal seeing that. Of course, I've seen it empty many times in the summer and stuff. But, yeah, it's just that just, I think, describes the mood and what we're all feeling is seeing that empty building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Very crazy times. Yes. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking.
We'll talk to you soon. I'll get Cedric on this show, like the last time you guys were on the show.
That's right. And he's doing great.
Great. So. Good to hear that.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you, Rocky. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It.
Bye-bye.
That was Rocky LaRose, former deputy AD at U of A. Good to talk to Rocky, taking some time out for me. Aren't you glad you're not an administrator?
Yeah,
well, the check cashes, I'm sure you...
Sure, you'd be great, but there's so much to consider, Steve, and I think Rocky brought up a ton of incredible points, but we all think about the full ride kits and everything, but she made the point, what about the ones that aren't?
Right.
You know, there are costs associated with coming back if you choose to come back or extend your academic career, and even life costs.
Sure.
You know, some of them are going to want to start their career or get married or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of them are going to want to take a year off and teach English in China. I mean, everybody eventually has to find their own path.
Yeah, no question. Some tough decisions to be made here. Obviously, it impacts the world in this situation, and it trickles down to the corner store, to the big university, to just the average guy.
Well, that's it. I mean, look at all the businesses around campus too, how they'll be affected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is like a ghost town over there.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a bit. I just seen pictures. I work around the corner and now I'm just working from home. Unbelievable, Tom. And here we are, lonesome in a radio station.
I know, our own ghost town.
Right. Let's take a quick break here. Come back on the other side, talk to Anthony Jamino of SI.com and All Sports Tucson. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and with me, Tom Callahan. And now on the phone, I have Anthony Jamino of All Sports Tucson and SI.com. Anthony, how are you?
What's going on, Steve?
Not a whole lot. I think we've talked in the last week. Have we talked on the show?
No, I was in studio last week. Remember that?
Okay. No, hell, I don't remember
yesterday. That was last Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I don't remember yesterday.
Know, the world has changed a billion times.
Well, you know, if Tuesday. That was the case, Tuesday was one of those crazy days. I think we probably talked about that, just how crazy that day was.
Yeah, well, I think the, was it Wednesday night was the real tipping point with the NBA? So I think we were headed to some crazy stuff, but it really picked up the pace after that because... everything's canceled.
Have you
postponed right now?
Have you gotten a gauge of how Tucson has reacted? Local things should have happened or are not happening.
Well, as you know, I started working for the county not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
and so I obviously I'm paying a ton of attention to our medical people who are the authorities in the area. And they've been pretty, you know, they're not the ones necessarily urging shutdowns and things like that. I mean, that's up to a lot of different, do they necessarily have the authority to do so.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, you know, recommendations and stuff like that. But, you know, if the federal government, if the state, you know, when they start coming down and saying schools are going to be closed and the CDC recommends this this and that. Well, I mean, you kind of have to listen. The one thing I did notice today in terms of Tucson was the morning commute to downtown was a lot lighter than it was just a week ago. There's still a lot of people hustling and bustling downtown and filling the lunch spots and the coffee spots and all those kind of good things. And I'm not sure how the local community is filling their sports Jones these days, how to get their fix.
A lot of reruns. Yesterday, I spent some of the time watching a couple of 30 on 30s. Stuff I had missed in the past, and it was pretty interesting. I guess I'll get caught up in history, stuff that I don't remember.
You know, one of the things I posted on the InsideTheWildcats.com site, which is the SI.com site, is the highlights, pretty much like a 40-minute condensed package of the 1994 Fiesta Bowl game, Arizona-Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So I posted that link to the video and found the old story I'd written and added some other little quotes and stuff I've gathered over the years. And people seem to really enjoy that. One, it's a great moment in Arizona football history. B, there's nothing else going on. So, I mean, if you want to dive back in history, basketball, football, Arizona stuff, whatever, boy, you can sure get lost in YouTube. I mean, there's some great. I mean, if you want to go watch, you want to watch a full game of Sean Elliott and Steve Kerr in an Arizona uniform, you can go find it. If you want to watch there's some Arizona football games from the 50s and 60s that you can find on YouTube.
So you mentioned that game real quick. I know you've been covering it for a long time. So where would you put that game in terms of history with the football program? And you kind of know how I feel about that game.
The festival game?
Yeah.
I don't. How do you feel about that game?
Well, I thought that Miami did want to even play in the game.
No, true. I agree. In more in retrospect, Miami just didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
They were Miami.
They were certainly coming off some better years,
mm-hmm.
and that was not a team that you could say it was really together. I honestly don't know if I'd put it in the top five, but close. I mean, to me, the
Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm kind of partial to the win over number, well, I mean, you could go back to the 80s when the Larry Smith upsets and the win mm-hmm, over mm-hmm. number one USC, the win over Notre Dame. Those are not only great games, but obviously great upset. The win over number one Washington in 92, which kind of was the culmination of the run that team put together out of absolutely nowhere. Although this wasn't a great game, but it was a great result. You know, the Fiesta Bowl, the 1998 Fiesta Bowl was a great game. That Nebraska team wasn't great. I mean, pretty good, but it wasn't like their championship teams from elsewhere in the 90s. You know, the 98, just for pure entertainment, the 1998 Arizona State game, was it 48-45, something like that? The one where Trunk Kennedy kept running wild and they mm-hmm, absolutely mm-hmm. could not stop him. That was just a fantastic, entertaining game. So, some of those, I think you'd all put up there as significant, important games in Arizona history. And the Fiesta Bowl certainly was significant, the 94 Fiesta Bowl.
Right.
Still, that wasn't necessarily vintage Miami, but you shut them out. They didn't cross their own 40 in the second half. I mean, it was the domination was complete, and then that game led to the Sports Illustrated cover that summer on their preview edition, which, of course, I think there's probably at least at one point a copy of that in every Tucson household.
Yeah,
right. And that's also pretty. You know, that's something people look back on fondly. So. It did have its significance.
Let me ask you, from then to now, how do you think the basketball team, this year's version, will be looked upon?
Is it even going to be looked upon?
Well, okay, if that's the answer.
I mean, I think when we look, I think, okay, 10 years from now, maybe 15 years from now, we'll say, hey, you know that 2019-2020 basketball season, we're going to say, oh, yeah, the coronavirus. We're not going to say, oh, that's the Nico Mannion year or the Zeke Nagy year or, you know, whatever. I just don't think it's going to resonate. There's no, I don't know. What do you remember? What would you remember from that year?
Yeah, I would. Well, I think that I'm in consensus with people. It was a disappointment. The funny thing about it, had all this happened, and I did a story, if I was compelled to write a story last week, the whole season was crazy. In a season of crazy, it just got crazier. And then it affected everybody, not just Arizona. Would they have done well in the tournament? I guess the fans can agree or speculate or dream.
Yeah, you can make up your own ending.
Right.
One of those books, Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, well, they beat Washington, and you probably heard the fans, we're back.
Right, and I think they said that after each of the last wins in the 3 months.
You know, very much so.
They put together a game or two, we're back, we're going to make a run, and then they lose.
Right.
When you don't expect it. This team always zigged when you thought they were going to zag and vice versa.
Right. So if it felt bad for the fans, imagine how it felt for the coach.
Yeah. He sure didn't look like Mr. Happy by the end of it.
No. It was...
Do you think any of the three will come back?
No. Not at all. I think this is kind of reality. Not kind of, it is reality, where you say, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So why deal with it? And I'm just going to go and deal with it. Does that make sense? Where you can say, okay, what if next year I could get hurt? This could happen. Not that this could happen.
Yeah.
And you just say, you know what? I'm just going to go.
Either way, you never know.
Yeah, and hopefully somebody will draft me and I'll get paid a lot of money. Or have to deal with this again. What's to say it won't happen again?
I kind of think there's like a 5% chance Zeke Nagy will come back.
5% chance. So you're saying 20-1.
I'm saying there's a chance.
You say there's a chance. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know.
I think he's the one who could most improve his stock.
I agree.
And I say that because right now I think he's kind of positionless in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, he's not necessarily big enough, tough enough to be a real five, even in today's NBA.
No.
And he's not yet this. He looks like he could be a great stretch four, but he's not there yet.
No.
You know, if he came back and developed a longer distance shot, maybe a 3-point shot, if he developed a little bit of off the dribble skills, which is obviously something a kid his age will develop, I think he could really improve his draft stock, and that's the only reason to come back is if you can make a big jump. And maybe the NBA right now is not in love with him. Yeah. You know, I'm not, you know, Bleacher Report, for whatever that is worth, which maybe not much, came out with a first round mock the other day and he wasn't in there.
Wow.
You know, maybe the consensus will be that he's not really a first rounder. In that case, maybe he does come back.
Right.
You know, I think they had Nico pegged at around 15 and Josh Green somewhere in the 20s, which seems reasonable. I mean, I get it. People say, oh, it's too high. They shouldn't leave. But for draft projections, that's probably a reasonable thought at this point in time. It could change, but...
Right. Well, by you just saying that there's a 5% chance of the fan who's listening is probably very excited because I don't see it, but I could be wrong.
Hey, what else you got going on except to think about these things and
right speculate,
consider the possibilities, and because otherwise, kind of like most years, the season ends and we really have no idea what the next year's roster is going to look like.
No question, and we'll know when we know because we won't be able to go and ask questions.
Yeah, and like I said, in this age, you know, they will, one way or another, they're going to add some transfers and grad transfers and maybe some reclassifying freshmen and all that process. That goes up until usually August.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, and who knows? Yeah, you know.
That's assuming we're even
playing basketball, Steve.
That's right. Well, this is our new normal. Kind of wonder what's going to happen next, because a lot of things have happened next, stuff that we could not predict.
Yeah, but you can watch some old Arizona history while you're at it.
Yes, I've seen the national championship game a few times. I think I'm done with that one.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Good to talk to you, Anthony. Enjoy the night.
Hi, Steve.
Take care.
See ya.
That was Anthony Jimeno, AllSportsTucson, SI.com. Let's take a quick break here, Tom, and come back here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. I miss you for this very reason, Tom, when you're gone.
Dropping in West End Girls by the Pet Shop Boys?
The Pet Shop Boys, yes. I haven't heard this one in a while. I like it. One of my best songs in the 1985, I think, summer. 86, 85, I think. A good choice. Good choice here.
Dating yourself, Steve.
Oh, hell, I'm old.
Yeah.
Just put old on me and I'm good. Speak a little magic. Maybe that'll work.
You know, I did try that last week and you gave me a look like I had handed you a skunk. So I don't know that I can just give you old.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sometimes you be picky. It's all right. It's your show.
You mean music.
Music, yeah.
I didn't get that. I totally said,
there are a couple
doing?
I tried to drop in on you and you gave me the look.
Yeah. No, I said, like, get that off that. Get off the air. So, you know what? Since we've last seen each other, guess who got a job in the college basketball world?
You?
Heck, I wouldn't be here.
You never know. Your start date could be six months out.
That's true.
You never know.
I can always
or a year or 2 years or whatever.
Well, me and Rick Pitino were up for a job.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino, I even put it on Facebook. The world is definitely going to end.
I saw that, actually.
It's definitely going to end. You have this coronavirus, and then you have Rick Pitino still coaching in college basketball.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
At a Catholic school, and he said he was targeting Catholic schools. I guess there's enough penance and Hail Marys that you can say to get back in?
I was raised Catholic. I could see that.
Oh, man. To me, it was I don't know if it was shocking. It was like, what? Didn't make any sense to me. And then he admits on the radio that he deserved to be fired back at Louisville.
The only reason, Steve, why I can see him getting back in is because it is with a small school that stands to benefit from a name brand at a cheap price.
True. But even then, you're selling out to winning. And I know that means a lot, but what is it worth?
Here's my question. How's he going to recruit? I mean, you'll get kids who still know his name, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if, I mean, you're coaching at a speck on the map. You know, you're not even...
Well, the one thing is, he's a heck of a coach. I'll give him that. He's a heck of a coach. Can motivate the kids to run through walls. He did that at Providence with Billy Donovan. He had that great gem of a player, and then he went to the Final Four and won. I think it was 86, could be 87. Just crazy. But when he got the job, I'm thinking... Didn't they see his resume? Didn't they Google?
It makes you wonder sometimes. But again, I mean, my all-time example of this is Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight got another job after he was run out of Indiana, mm-hmm. which is something I never thought I would see.
Really?
To be quite honest
after
with you.
After he strangled the kid or yelled at the kids?
Well, no, I get it, but he'd been doing that the whole time and nobody seemed to care.
No, because he was winning and he was Bobby Knight.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know what? Essentially, what changed was he wasn't winning national championships, and then all of a sudden people cared. That's.
Yeah.
Hooey. But anyway, yeah, I didn't think he'd get another job after Indiana, and he showed up at Texas Tech.
Texas Tech for a while. Did you see recent footage of him?
No.
At his reunion, at his first time back at Indiana?
No.
I think it happened maybe a month ago. It was kind of sad.
He's getting up there.
Yeah, no question. And he was already kind of doing that on ESPN when he was doing the games.
Yeah.
But, I get it. It is what happens. So just a lot of things going on. You were talking about WWE. I guess that's tonight, right, with no fans?
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
UFC with no fans. I watched a little of the UFC, and there was nobody in the arena except for the show girls or the card girls or whatever you call them. And the fighters, there was still blood. And things, but I was watching some 30 on 30. I don't. You watch those?
The 30 for 30s. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of them.
And I got Tito versus Who are they? Tito versus Gracie. It'll come to me. The relationship with the Belichick and Parcells. Some of the other ones. I said, God, where was I? I guess I must have been too busy to see some of these from the past. Chuck Liddell. That was it. Tito. It was very good. All this great stuff. I wish I could do stuff like that because their storytelling is very, very good.
Well, that's why they win awards for those.
Yes.
Those are really good.
Yeah,
and they take some issues that honestly I probably wasn't even interested in when they happened, but the way they can explain things makes it fascinating to me as a viewer.
Well, because and this is part of it, because Parcells and Belichick were great friends, then they weren't, and then they are, because over time all that's forgotten, and then they can talk to you about what really happened.
Right.
Because at the time they don't talk. You know, it's like a bad marriage. They don't talk. And then over time, it maybe gets good. And you can say, hey, remember that time? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never see that. But you know what I'm saying.
And some, you know, it's interesting. That's kind of like, I watch a lot of music documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Like some bands are like that. Eventually, the guys kind of come back together and they can, you know, talk or whatever. But there are some people out there who are scorned for life.
Oh, yes, yes. What was the thing on back in the day for the music? The behind the scenes or on WH1, VH1?
Oh, VH1, Behind the Music.
Behind the Music.
Those are always fascinating. I love those.
How people hate each other and came together and...
Yeah. Yeah, you see bands that are on tour and they won't even talk to one another. And I mean, you even hear it like sometimes with, even in the world of announcing, Steve, there are duos that you would hear behind the scenes. These guys, I know some where the play-by-play guy and the color analyst had to have separate meetings from one another.
You've seen that? Well, you saw that.
Meeting twice.
There was a guy that worked here and Mike Fader hired him. I think it was Mario Pemba with Boston recently. Him and the guy, they got... into blows, and they had to find just like a year or so ago.
Yeah, and they fired both of them. Was that Detroit?
Yeah, it was Detroit. I think it was Detroit. Yeah, so that happens. I mean, it's like
sometimes you don't get along.
12 angry jurors, two people can't get along sometimes.
Yeah,
thankfully, you and I sing Kumbaya.
Yeah, we do. We do. Although I forgot my ukulele today, so we're gonna have to do acapella.
You're fine. We think alike, which is very sad. Sorry,
I speak Steve, as they say.
You understand, Steve. You're the one guy.
Yep.
You know, Moreno's good too.
That's why you keep him around.
Very much so, for the tax purposes.
Yes.
Yes. But here we are in a weird world. Have you gone shopping yet?
Yeah. Boy, toilet paper, huh? I went to a bunch of different stores because I was running low on toilet paper. Happened to get lucky at a Walmart a couple of days ago. There were 5 packages
just sitting there
of toilet paper left.
How could they just be sitting there?
I don't know. But I bought 2 of them and left the other 3 because I don't need to hoard.
Yeah, that'll keep you going for a while.
Yeah. Like I bought 2 12 packs. I'm like, I figure I'm good before I need to go out and fight the masses again.
Well, guess where
I
don't tell me where you live because I'll be knocking on that door.
I could see it coming already.
I haven't. I kind of just, you know, I don't. That's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
To me.
It is. I mean, I can't. I've been looking for the Clorox wipes and stuff, and we're lucky enough that you know, work had the foresight to have a stock. But at home, you know, I would like to disinfect some things. Can't.
Yeah. No.
So.
Wow. Crazy.
You can't
times.
Get bleach. You can't get cleaners.
Eventually, we will.
Hand sanitizer. Well, sure.
Well, I'm sure you saw on Facebook there was some people selling all that stuff on their driveway or whatever. I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
Really.
And people paying $30 for a bottle of hand sanitizer?
I don't know if that's the price they're selling. I don't know if people are paying that.
I think
who in their right mind would do that?
People aren't in their right mind right now.
$30.
The ones who are panicking and hoarding are not in their right mind.
No, those are the ones, you're true, but those are the ones who are probably saying, hey, psst, look, I got something for you.
Yeah.
$25 today only.
Yep. Open up the coat instead of a bunch of watches on the inside. It's different kinds of toilet paper.
Right. Man, you gained weight. No, it's just my jacket. It's full of TP. We got the thin kind. We got the thick kind.
I got single ply. I got 2-ply.
And that one where the bear is kind of naked and he runs around with the shorts on the floor.
Yeah, this it was a Charmin or one of those. I don't know.
Oh, God.
No, I don't even know.
Well, here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
I mean, we're still alive. We're still going.
Day 10 of the coronavirus hostage situation.
Fast forward 10 days, we just have like the most awful beard growth. And which, by the way, I got rid of my beard because they recommended doing that.
They did?
Yes.
When?
This was a couple of weeks ago. I was reading guidelines
Who's
on
they?
It, and I just finally caved. CDC.
Why?
The CDC, because infections, it's easier for them to stick around in your facial hair.
I did not get that memo. I still have mine.
Yeah, I ditched mine. It'll come back. Don't worry. But
I don't even,
just for now, it's
I've
gone.
Never, maybe that's what the thing, the difference with you, because I thought it was you were combing your hair. No, you got rid of your
hair. Got rid of the beard for now. Yeah.
Well, mine's still here. I'm going to tempt fate.
Okay.
I cover my face because I need to.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Can't find masks. The surgical masks.
Uh-huh.
Those are long gone.
Yeah. Well, back a month ago or 6 weeks ago, you were thinking, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, exactly. It just seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, it'll get worse and then it'll get better. It'll get better. It has to, right?
Can't go on. Eventually. Especially around, one of the things I take heart about living in Arizona, Steve, is that they say this thing doesn't do well over 90 degrees and it needs water. Two things that we don't have in the summer are under 90 degrees and water, you know, and by the time monsoon season hits, everything will be dead. So,
yeah, well, that's good. You're more informed than I am. That's good. So by, in another few weeks, it could be shot here.
So I think the dry desert climes are in better shape than cold, wet, rainy.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah, I did not know that. It's good.
Yeah.
What were we today? I didn't go outside. I stayed in the house.
It was around 80 degrees today.
80, so we're almost
there. Nice.
We're almost there.
Yeah. I mean, let's not rush it, but, you know, when it gets here, it gets here.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't rush anything, obviously.
Especially once you get past Memorial Day. Oof.
Oh, right. When you say, come on.
Fry an egg in the hood of your car.
Yeah, so they say. So what do you do? I guess in the next couple of days, I'll have a guest on to talk about the economy, what it means to them. Like you say, your freelancers, your people that
sure.
go to events and places.
Yeah.
Like the horse races are canceled, the U of A, obviously. I have a friend who's the security guy. He's the main guy for the A team, and they have no events to go to. You know, you're not going to have no bodyguards or whatever.
And it's like the domino effect. Once they canceled the NBA season and then spring training and the NHL and everybody else, all those dominoes start falling, and that's when you lose all those things. It's not just people like me who might be working the broadcast staff or whatever, but it's also the ushers, the ticket takers, the concessionaires, you know, the people who were relying on that for some type of income. And in my case, I was relying on it for quite a bit of it.
Right. And you
and
saw
it's gone.
And you saw at the NBA level, at least at that level,
sure,
that some of the players are kicking in to help those people.
Yeah, and some of the hockey teams are now too. I've seen some things for that, as far as the arena workers and stuff, which is nice to see because Steve, think about it, changeover crews in an arena.
Yeah.
Staples Center. I think we talked about this. They have the Kings, the Clippers, and the Lakers are the three main tenants. Well, there's a crew that comes in and changes out the basketball floor or converts it to an ice rink and back.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing to do now. They're not there. They're not getting paid either.
Right.
All those trade shows that, you know, arenas fill their space with in the meantime when a team's on the road or whatever, not there. Concerts, not there.
Right.
So here we are.
Right.
We got to get out of here.
Yes, we do. Well, I'll see you tomorrow with some more tunes. From back in the day, the good old days, as I like to call them. Thanks, Tom. Here we are on 10:30 The Voice. Talk to you guys tomorrow.